Welcome back to Impact Investing Musings, a podcast series where we delve into the ever-evolving world of impact investing and aim to connect, educate, and share knowledge to drive capital towards impact. I am Ning Wu, Director of Impact Investing at AVPN. With a significant amount of capital being directed towards impact investing, there is a growing emphasis on impact measurement and management, IMM. In this episode, we will discuss the strides made within the ecosystem in establishing effective and robust IMM practices. I'm delighted to introduce our guest speaker for this episode, Professor Hao Liang from Singapore Management University. Professor Liang is the recipient of Hobie Professorship in Sustainability Management and the co-director of Singapore Green Finance Center. And joining us to lead this conversation is our host, Mr. Temu Nabili. Professor Liang began by outlining what he considers to be the defining characteristics of impact investing.
Thanks for having me. Impact investing, as many of us know, is a particular strategy for responsible investing or sustainability investing. Compared to other responsible investing strategies, such as excluding certain companies from investors' portfolio or actively engaging with the investee company. Impact investing is featured by, I would say, three important characteristics. First is intentionality. So investors, when they come into the deal, they do have an intention to create social and environmental impacts. The second is financial return. So this is what distinguishes itself from traditional philanthropy. Investors do look for a return. And the third is about measurement. So what gets measured gets managed. Impact investors, they do proactively check and measure and report the impacts created from their investment. So this is how I position impact investing in the broader responsible space.
So intentionality, what sort of questions should an individual investor be asking in order to make sure that their intentions are being fulfilled?
Clear value and impact creation strategy, and whether the financial return is attractive, and how much impact can be created, which can also be precisely measured. Those are probably the major questions that investors would ask.
Why is measurement something they should pay particular attention to? Because if I'm an investor and a company comes and says to me, I am making a clean technology product. I am creating an educational system in a developing country which yields education for children, which currently doesn't exist. Why should an investor not just say, right, I'm happy with that? What is the value to them of having this really in-depth measurement process?
But there is this concern about greenwashing or impact washing, if you like, because nowadays everybody would claim that their investment is responsible investment. So without properly measuring the impact, it's very hard for investors to really gauge, given the amount of investment they make, whether they indeed generate impact and whether the impact is big enough to justify their potential sacrifice of their financial return. So I think that's why investors need to care about impact measurement.
Okay, so then let's talk about how. What are the ways in which we measure environmental and social impact? What are the criteria that should be deployed that are most indicative of real value?
Okay, a major challenge for investors and fund managers is on one hand, they have financial return. On the other hand, they pursue impact. But there is a need to compare and aggregate the impact performance across their investment portfolios and to sort of calculate the net impact, both financial and non-financial, from their investment. So there is a strong desire by investors to value or to monetize the impact. And in this way, they can quantify the impact in monetary terms and combine it with their financial return. So when investors make an investment, now they have an idea, not only how much financial return they receive, but also how much they affect the people and they affect the environment, they affect the planet, and they can leverage this information to make better and more informed decisions. So I think this is why impact measurement and the management is important for investors.
So when we talk about presenting that final outcome of our impact investing process, how do we sort of make that balance between what are the impact goals, what are the investment goals, and should the measurement of them be a single number, or how should that be presented?
That's an excellent question. So as you mentioned, impact measurement, or more broadly, measurement and management, IMM, is an important part of impact investing. And compared to measuring environmental and social impact for other types of investments, for example, in the traditional investment, people resort to ESG ratings. That's usually for publicly listed companies. Impact investing is usually made into private firms. So majority of the investors, they are venture capital private equity investors. So this is a challenge because they won't be able to get ESG ratings. They are not required to issue sustainability report, but investors still want to have an idea about their profit and loss, which is in financial sense, but also how much impact is created. So therefore, how do you merge? Therefore, how do you balance the financial profit and loss and the impact, negative and positive impacts, is a crucial part. Many people believe financial returns and impacts, they are two totally different things. That's why you can't really put them together, aggregate them. But other people believe you can actually measure them in similar units. Instead of quantifying impacts, for example, how much carbon dioxide emissions you create in tons, you can actually measure the impacts in dollars, in monetary terms. In this way, you sort of have impacts as well as profit and loss in the same unit, and therefore you can aggregate them. So I think a major change in impact investing is to have a unified unit. And the example I gave just now is to use monetary unit. As therefore, you can calculate the overall impact or the net impact from your investment, taking into account of both financial and non-financial returns.
Well, you mentioned some of the different measurement frameworks that there are, and there are multiples of them, aren't there, and many different ways of approaching this. For an investor, does it actually matter significantly which framework is being adopted by the company in question or the investment company in question? Or is it sufficient to say, okay, there is a credible, recognized framework in place, and therefore I can feel reasonably certain that what is happening is above board?
Yeah, so I think that's a very important question. Probably a short answer to this is there has not been universally or widely accepted framework that different impact investors, they all agree upon. Different frameworks, they focus on different things. For example, the World Bank, IFC, they have their own impact measurement framework, but that's more from the development perspective because IFC provides funding for development goals. And GSG, Global Steering Group for Impact Investing, they have their framework more tailored for PVC investors. And there are many other frameworks like the Ares Plus by Global Impact Investing Network. So because different frameworks, they are for different types of investors, for different types of projects, it's very hard to come up with a unified framework that everybody would agree upon. But coming back to our earlier discussion about the need to value impact, even though we have different frameworks, but the monetary amount is the same, right? So $1 is $1 in different countries. Therefore, I think monetizing or valuing impact, at least this approach, try to find the common denominator among different frameworks. And I, in my personal opinion, this is probably the way to go in the future when we think about impact measurements for those type of investors.
Is the multiplicity of standards and approaches and priorities, is this a governance problem, do you think? I mean, do you think that even though there are increasing interventions by governing bodies to try and standardize more of these things, has it gone far enough? Do we need a better system of public standards and laws to govern this space?
I think to some extent, we need regulators to set the standards. and everybody follow the standards. So this is more like a top-down approach. But on the other hand, I do believe we need a bottom-up approach as well, because different investors, they have different needs. What family offices they want from their investments will be different from what pension funds as an LP they want from their investment. So therefore, impact measurement frameworks should be tailored to different types of investors, different types of deals, and in different countries, different regions. So we probably need a combination of both the top-down approach and bottom-up approach. So having many different frameworks per se is not necessarily a problem, because different people do have different opinions on different impacts. And you know, some investors prioritize environmental impacts, whereas other investors prioritize social impacts. And that's why I think, given these different preferences, finding a common denominator is important. And that's why converting impacts into something that can be monetized, dollarized, is probably the way to go.
But what about from the perspective of the companies themselves, when they are trying to fulfill and align with some of the requirements of the investors and some of the requirements of the regulators? It's up to them to choose some framework or other, or some approach or other, that will fulfill all the criteria. And this is becoming increasingly complex for them, isn't it, given the multiplicity of avenues available and the increasingly academic approach and detail-oriented approach to measuring impact? Is it counterproductive in any way to load this much detail into perhaps small companies that haven't got the capacity to be able to deliver what is required?
Yeah, so first, most of the frameworks, standards for impact measurements that I mentioned, they are more for investors. They are not really for companies. And especially when it comes to impact investing, given that most of the deals, they are on private firms, and those firms are small, medium-sized enterprises or startup firms, they may not have the capacity to report impacts. But of course, for investors to understand the data, to generate the data from the company, they do need some reporting from the company. So in this regard, companies do have to report their impact to some extent. At this moment, we see a lot of standards frameworks for listed companies, but not much for private companies. So that's a potential challenge. There is discussion, and we are probably seeing some movement of disclosure standards for private companies in order for them to generate data for investors to gauge the impact of their investments. But this is still in a very premature stage. For example, in the EU, currently there is a CSRD, Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive, which require listed companies to comprehensively report their environmental and social impacts. And CSRD also has a smaller version that is for non-listed companies or for SMEs, small, medium-sized enterprises, which is currently being developed. Same for International Sustainability Standard Board, ISSB, which is developed for listed companies. And now in different countries, including Singapore, regulators are discussing about developing a smaller version of ISSB for smaller companies. So traditionally, yes, I think there are many frameworks, standards, although there are very few for small companies. Those are the targets for impact investing. But we are seeing some convergence of those frameworks and more tailored frameworks being developed for those smaller companies.
You're talking there, you mentioned there are a couple of geographical issues. Is there a distinction geographically? Is there a geographic context that investors should be considering when it comes to their investment activity? For instance, here in Asia, are there criteria, are there elements that are specific to this area that they should be cognizant of?
Yeah, so I think there are two schools when it comes to geographical difference. One school, they believe carbon emission is the same everywhere. We are living under the same environment. So when it comes to impact measurement, you should apply the same standard. regardless where you are, whether it's in Asia or in Europe. The other school, they try to adopt a more nuanced approach, because if you think about how to monetize carbon emissions, the same ton of carbon emission is priced differently. In the EU, it's probably $100 per ton of emission based on the European emission trading system, whereas in Singapore at this moment is $25 per ton, and it will increase progressively to $80 per ton by 2030. So when you price carbon, in other words, when you monetize the impact of greenhouse gas emission across different countries, different regions, you should apply different impact factors. And also, we'll think about other issues, such as human rights issues, an important social issue. I think different regions have different definitions on human rights. Minimum wage, what is considered as quality education. My personal opinion is that given all these nuances across regions, impact measurement probably should also depends on where we are, and therefore the parameters that you assign to measure whether it's per ton of carbon emission or whether it's a violation of human rights should also vary.
Obviously, one of the increasingly prevalent and important aspects of measurement is the fact that it helps to determine whether what's called impact washing is taking place. Obviously, in the financial world, there are numerous examples of unscrupulous behavior and activity. So define for me impact washing from your perspective, and let's discuss a little bit about how measurement can help to mitigate that.
Yeah, so I think the word impact washing probably is adapted from the original word greenwashing. So greenwashing is widely accepted, right? So you claim you are green, but actually what you do is not that green. This is just standard definition of greenwashing. So using a similar definition, impact washing means you claim that you make impact investing, but actually when you look at the deal, you actually do not generate that much impact. So that's why having a measurement approach and having a standard would be important. So you not only claim, you have to measure it. And the measurement that you apply has to be consistent with international standard. And this will, to a large extent, alleviate the concern of impact washing. When you look at greenwashing space, for example, EU taxonomy and many other frameworks that I mentioned earlier, they are established precisely to prevent the greenwashing problems. So that's why I think having globally accepted impact measurement framework will be crucial for curbing the impact washing issue.
Intentionality, as we touched on before, is the investor's desire to see their own investment criteria fulfilled. And the danger of impact washing is that the company they've invested in is actually not delivering on those intentions. But for smaller investors who don't perhaps have the oversight capacity of something like an international pension fund, how can they make sure that impact washing is not taking place? Obviously, they don't have the capacity, the expertise to really understand the activities of the company in question. Is it up to them simply to try and judge the company on the basis of its reputation? How can they avoid the traps of impact washing without actually being expert in that space?
First, I think the big difference between impact investing and general responsible investing is that, for example, if I'm a green ETF exchange traded fund, I need to check many boxes to convince the investors that I'm green. Whereas for impact investing, because investors, they usually have their specific goals in mind, for example, family office. When they invest, they may not need to comprehensively check all the boxes about ESG impacts. They may have their own criteria in mind. They only want to focus on clean technology, or they only want to focus on affordable housing. So they have a selective set of boxes to check, and therefore they have their own criteria. So some of the impact management frameworks are designed to accommodate such demand by investors. For example, the IRIS Plus framework by Global Impact Investing Network, they go by categories, by topics. So if your main concern is about affordable housing, then these are the criteria for affordable housing. And investors can basically just check all these boxes. And other frameworks, of course, they focus on other areas. And depending on what kind of investors you are looking at, you go by those selective issues. So in this way, I would say impact measurement is probably more manageable when you focus on the issues that investors care most about, rather than having a comprehensive list of boxes that you have to check all of them.
What would you recommend investors to research, and what steps would you recommend they take in order to make sure that they are at least adequately informed about the situation that they find themselves in and the kind of reports that they're getting?
Yeah, so I think first, impact investors need to be clear about what kind of impacts they care most and what kind of standards are there that are designed or that are most suitable to measure the type of impacts they are concerned. Second, I think given that impact quantification and valuation relies a lot on scientific research, there is a need to have an active dialogue between investors and the impact service provider or the researchers who develop those frameworks to make sure that, you know, whatever measurement tools that you use actually are backed by sound, rigorous approach. And the third, the impact measurement tools you use have to be consistent with international frameworks.
Speaking about some of the frameworks and institutions, could you just give me a brief potted history of the evolution of this particular aspect of it? When did we begin to think about the problems of measuring impact in a meaningful and verifiable sense? And how have those deliberations continued to where we are? And where do you think ultimately we're going?
I think the concept of impact measurements already started when the word impact investing was first mentioned. I think that's around 2007. And at that time, impact measurement was more about something qualitative. So I make investments and I want to see good outcomes. And over time, there are also discussions about how to quantify different impacts, and therefore many of the frameworks I mentioned, such as GSG, World Bank IFC, impact measurement projects, those frameworks are being developed over the next decade. And only until recent years, the focus has been shifted towards valuing impacts in their monetary terms. And the International Foundations for Valuing Impacts, Value Balancing Alliance, impact weighted accounts framework that I mentioned, this I think just came up in the recent 2-3 years. So this is still an evolving field compared to ESG ratings for listed companies, which has been there for at least 20 years. I think impact measurement is still in its nascent stage, but it's also matches with the development of impact investing in the overall responsible investing space. Responsible investing has been there for decades, whereas impact investing is only there in the recent 10, 20 years, and its overall market share is probably less than 1% of the responsible investing total market asset under management. So I think we are probably going to see a greater growth of impact investing in general, because there is an increasing demand for proactively creating and measuring impact. And therefore, we are probably also going to see the greater maturity of impact measurement, both at the international stage, but also with more nuanced development that are more suitable to different sectors, different regions.
What does greater maturity look like? What aspects of this particular area have yet to be fully resolved? What problems remain?
Yeah, so if I can make a reference to the ESG measurement and reporting landscape, where we are seeing a lot of convergence or consolidation of different frameworks, we are probably also going to see something similar for impact measurement. So at this moment, We have many different frameworks, but over time, given that investors are focusing on deals globally and they want more comparability, more transparency across different sectors, different regions, we probably would also expect, you know, one or two major frameworks standing out. I think another prediction would be, given the increasing demand for reporting impact, especially in your P&L and balance sheet, therefore investors can aggregate impacts with financial returns, we are probably also going to see increasing standardization of how you monetize impacts, how you assign monetary values on impacts.
But is that the ultimate goal? Is that we be able to translate every impact measurement into a monetary value? Because, you know, there are lots of impacts aspects that are really difficult to measure, aren't they? Biodiversity conservation, for instance, or the well-being of a particular community. I mean, how can you assign monetary value to those things?
Yeah, so I agree. A lot of impacts, especially social impacts, are very hard to be quantified in the first place, let alone being valued in monetary terms. But this is also what we have seen in other areas, in accounting, for example. Several decades ago, people would argue, how can you value intangibles in traditional financial accounting? But over time, people developed widely accepted approach for valuing intangibles, valuing goodwills, reputations, brand values. So I'm personally more optimistic about developing something that is more accepted and more standardized in terms of valuing impacts. Having said that, I do agree that different people, they may have different valuation criteria, or they have different monetary parameters that they think they can assign to certain impacts. The way that we value human rights, or the way we value even carbon emissions, vary vastly across investors and across regions. But at least I think the framework is something more universal. So if, for example, we believe the way to value carbon emission is to use carbon tax or the price from carbon trading market, although the price may vary, but the mechanism is the same. So investors, depending on where they are investing, they just apply the prevailing price to the impact. So I think this is probably the direction we are going. The frameworks is universally applied, but the inputs on the specific parameter can vary.
What about the speed at which we're progressing? Do you think that is going fast enough? Do you think that the regulators and the accounting industry and the broader institutional frameworks that we've used in the past to value companies according to financial means are adapting quickly enough to take on board a lot of the considerations that you've been talking about?
I think personally, I think we are not fast enough. But if we look back over the past 10 years, I think 10 years ago, very few people talk about valuing impacts. And then when we move to the past 2-3 years, I think everybody began to become aware of the importance of monetization on impacts. And a lot of the frameworks for impact measurement and impact valuation were also developed just not long ago. So although I think we were probably a bit late in this space, given a lot of social issues, inequality, and biodiversity loss that we are already experiencing, I see quite some positive signs. We see some exponential growth in the development of impact measurement approach. I've been teaching this subject at SMU for 5-6 years already, and when I prepared my teaching materials, the first time I taught, there were very few frameworks I could refer to. Today, when I'm teaching this course again on sustainable investing, there are already an abundance of frameworks I can use and I can assign to students. So in this regard, I'm more optimistic about the future growth of this space.
Do you think that the individual investors, whether they be large pension funds or small family offices, do you think they have a role to play in accelerating or at least helping to develop these new frameworks and these new approaches?
Yes, certainly. For example, at SMU, together with a few other international organizations, we are developing this impact-weighted account framework, which is about valuing impact and reporting impact, and the balance sheet. We have been taking in opinions and inputs from many organizations, including impact investors, including those large corporations, small, medium-sized enterprise, and financial institutions. I think their main inputs are about what kind of impacts they care most. And when it comes to trade-off between impacts, for example, environmental impacts and social impacts, carbon emissions versus affordable housing, how much weight they would put on different impacts. I think these are the important inputs for the developments. In the end, you know, this is not just a one-sided development that academics or consultants, they provide a framework and investors, they just passively accept those frameworks. It's a joint project. We do need a lot of feedbacks from investors. Again, talking about the impact-weighted accounts framework that I'm leading to develop at SMU, we have public consultation, we have expert consultation. We're taking a lot of feedbacks from different investors.
All right.
I just want to make a final point that although the conversation we are having is about impact investing, so the impact measurement frameworks approach are mostly for PEVC investors investing in private firms. I think the same concepts, same principles can be applied to all kinds of organizations, including those large organizations. They also need to measure their impact. They also need to report their impacts in their sustainability report or annual report. And impact measurements are probably more crucial for those kind of organizations because they do have to disclose more information in line with international standards. So what we are talking about here can be generalized to all kinds of organizations.
That was Hao Liang of Singapore Management University. In the next episode of this series, I'll be talking to Nandini Chowdhury, Principal and Deputy Head of South Asia Advisory at the Cross Boundary Group. Our subject will be Unlocking Capital, Harnessing Blended Finance for Social Impact. I hope you'll join us for that. But bye-bye for now.